The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Anyways, Boker Tov, and thank you so much. The messianic age. We are in it right now. And what you are witnessing on the news today would not surprise in the least the sages of thousands of years ago, the Talmudic sages, saw how difficult the times of the Messiah would be. So much so that there's a piece in the Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin, page 98b. And there was a discussion amongst the rabbis. One rabbi's name was Ula. Let him, the Messiah, come, but let me not see him. Ula did not want to be in the times of Mashiach. Could you imagine that? Rabba, another great rabbi, said likewise, may he come, but may I not see him. Because they knew that it would be so difficult. So much so that they'd rather opt out on seeing Mashiach because the prelude to Mashiach will be such challenging times. However, their colleague, Rabbi Yosef, he says, let him come. May I be worthy of sitting in the shadow of his ass's dung. So what is he talking about? What is his donkey's dung? And that really becomes the symbolism of the messianic age. We'll be in a world filled not with bull, right? This is worse than bull. This is donkey. Okay? Donkey dung. Okay? And Rabbi Yosef said, may I be worthy to sit in the shadow of his donkey dung. Now you have to understand a very interesting idea. The Mashiach, as the prophets saw prophetically, will come on a donkey, not a white horse, and not a stretch limousine, but on a donkey. And donkeys aren't generally considered an extremely respectable or state-like, symbol for someone like Mashiach, the king of the world, so to speak. He's going to come on a donkey. And Rabbi Yosef says, may I be worthy, to sit in the shadow of the Messiah's donkey's dung. You have to understand, how much dung could there be? I mean, I've never seen any shadow out of a donkey dung. I mean, you see donkey dung, by the way, in the old city, because in the old city there are these lanes which you can't come in with your car. Which is really nice where I live, because there are cars, but not that many cars, because the place has its original design. It wasn't designed for cars, it was designed for people who had donkeys. So it's not uncommon once in a while to be walking down the street and step in a little donkey dung. My wife says in France that's considered to be a sign of good luck. So I push her into it. No. But I've never seen a shadow of a donkey dung, because it's not very high, right? Now you're talking about Rabbi Yossi, who's saying that he's worthy to be sitting in the shadow. So now if I was sitting, how much donkey dung can you imagine would have to be a pile to create enough of a shadow that you could sit in? I mean, it's got to be at least this high. And how big is this donkey? Right? So how did donkeys create such a high pile of dung? It could only be that the donkey's not moving. Because donkeys that move have a little dung here and a little dung there and a ding-dong-dung. You know, but a large pile of dung. We're talking about a tower here. So you're talking about a donkey, you're talking about dung, you're talking about lots of dung. And you're talking about a donkey who's stuck. And his obviously has got diarrhea. So we're talking about diarrheic donkey dung. I'm doing this intentionally before lunch. That's right. Because I'm hungry and I want to get the food, and you guys won't be at all appetized after this thing. So what is donkey dung? Who is the donkey? Our sages teach us that the Messiah will come on the symbol of total materialism and secularism. That's the donkey. And in fact, the Hebrew word for donkey is chamor, which is the same word for chomer, which means materialism. And therefore, the rabbis anticipated that the Messiah would come on a wave of incredible materialistic secular society. And the other rabbis were of such a refined character that they obviously opted, if they had a choice, they'd rather not have to be in such a generation. Now, you and I don't have the luxury to even have this discussion of having to deal with the donkey dung, because it is all over the place. All over the place. What is the secret of Rabbi Yosef? What does it mean to sit in the shadow of this donkey dung? There was a famous Jewish philosopher by the name of Hermann Cohen. And he was against the Zionist movement because he believed that Zionism, through Zionism, the Jewish people would preoccupy themselves with building stadiums and not yeshivas. And that we would somehow forget our universal ideals to learn Torah and bring the light of Torah to the world, because we'll get involved with building roads, building sewage, tilling the land, and we would become so involved in the physical concerns of Jewish survival, we will forget the national aspirations, spiritual aspirations, of the Jewish people. And we're seeing it right now. I think the state of Israel has hit the peak of secularism. This is postmodern Zionism, when Zionism and one of the leaders of Zionism spearheads a situation where he gives away for nothing in return parts of the land of Israel. Is this what the rabbis anticipated would have broken their heart to have to see, and they said, I'd rather not see this? Because it was heart-wrenching, and I'm not anywhere close to the level of these rabbis, but it was heart-wrenching to see these pictures. And my children were in Gush Katif, and they were picked up by soldiers and pulled out, and they've told me the stories, eyewitness news, and it's just devastating. And Jews, I think for the first time in history, will be destroying synagogues, 26 synagogues. What is going on? What is going on? And yet somehow, although the other rabbi said, I don't want to see that, it will so break my heart. So break my heart. I know it's the times of Mashiach, but I won't be able to stand it. The Rav Yosef says, may I be worthy. Not only am I willing to see the donkey dung, a state that's so full of dung of materialism, secularism, liberalism, but may I be worthy to sit in the shadow. Well, what does he mean? What's the shadow? What is the shadow? Why do people sit in the shadow? To get out of the sun, so they're not burnt by the sun. Now I want you to know an amazing secret of Rav Yosef. There's a piece in the Talmud that teaches that in the future, God will expose the real light hidden in the sun. The righteous will be healed by this light, but the evil will be burnt by this light. The exact same revelation, illumination, for some will be a healing power, and for some will be total devastation and burn down. The Talmud is teaching us that in the future there really won't be a Gehenna, there won't be a hell, and there won't be a heaven. What will be is an incredible revelation of divine light, and those who are not ready for it, those who lived a life in denial of it, or worse than that, in contradiction to it, will be so devastated by this light. Right? In fact, the Zohar does talk about this in terms of our own death. But when a person dies, what essentially happens is the real truth of life is exposed, revealed to them, and those people who live their life in tandem with that truth will be confirmed and rejoice in that realization. But those people who lived a life that was in contradiction, imagine your whole life was just about money. And when you die, you discover how money really had nothing to do with anything really valuable in your life. Imagine the shame one would feel that I wasted my life. I wasted my life. So on an even more grand scale of history, the truth will be revealed. And the righteous will be healed by it, and the evil will suddenly realize how they had so wasted their lives, not only wasted, they destroyed their lives, the lives of others, and they will be singed by it. But it's the same light. For one person, the truth will be confirming and beautiful, and reviving, and for another person, it will just destroy them. Because it will so devastate them that I lived such a lie. So, what is the donkey dung protecting Rav Yosef from? The light of Mashiach. Because the light of Mashiach, the light of this truth, will be so intense that Rav Yosef has the ability to see something positive in dung. Do you understand this? What could be positive in dung? Well, and lots of it. Well, it will protect me from the light, the messianic light. What's he talking about? The Zohar, which is the classic teachings of the Kabbalah, Tikkuni Zohar more specifically, explains that when a person dies, there are different yeshivot, Torah centers, Torah learning centers in heaven, run by different Rosh Yeshivot, different heads of the yeshivot. And depending how you lived your life will determine which yeshiva you can get into. Right? Abraham has a yeshiva. King David has a yeshiva. Moses has a yeshiva. And we're not all going to merit to get into any yeshiva we want, right? But I want you to know, the best yeshiva, the one that's going to teach the deepest of the deepest, is the Mashiach yeshiva. Mashiach has a yeshiva. And the Zohar teaches, what does it take to get into the yeshiva of Mashiach? So it says over the door, who can come through this door? It says over the door, only people who know how to turn darkness into light, bitterness into sweetness, can pass through these doors. And this is where Rav Yosef is going. Because he has the secret of how to take something as disgusting, something that so stinks, right? Because he understands how to see distinction or distinctify the donkey dung. Because he sees somehow in donkey dung something very positive, something very protective, something very valuable, whereby the other rabbis will just simply not be able to stomach the secularism and the materialism and the physical and the promiscuity and the liberalism. Rabbi Yosef is able to see that that has some protective value as we enter into the light of Mashiach. What could that be? What could that be? The Zohar specifically says who will get for sure into the Mashiach's yeshiva, and it's a Rabbi Chia. The Zohar says Rabbi Chia is for sure getting into the yeshiva of Mashiach. Why? Because Rabbi Yechia and Rav Shimon ben Chalafta were walking in Tiberias by a place called Arbel. Has anybody been to the Arbel? Gorgeous place in Tiberias. It overlooks the Kinneret. And it's very distinct. Distinct. It's very interesting. Because it looks like a... kind of looks like that Prudential rock that you... you know? And you can see it from the distance wherever you look from the Golan Heights. Awesome view. It says that these two rabbis were walking by the Arbel, and it was Ayelet Shachar. It was dawn, right? Just before the sun was about to rise. And Rav Chia says, such is the process of the messianic redemptive times. It will be like the rising of the sun, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. What is unique about Ayelet Shachar? How does the sun emerge out of total darkness? The sun sets, moon, stars, then the moon sets, just stars, then the stars go out, pitch dark. And Rav Chia was able to see how it's precisely the pitch dark which sets the stage for the rising of the sun. Most people would give up hope. And Ayelet Shachar, Shachar means darkness, Shachor, but the word Shachar also means hope. Can you see hope in darkness? The other rabbi said, I won't be able to deal with the darkness. Maybe intellectually, philosophy, I've read this class, I know this talk. But Rav Yosef says, you know what? I should just be worthy. I should be blessed to be in a time that is so much the apparent antithesis of Judaism, because what we will see is that which seems to be the antithesis of Judaism really becomes valuable in that incredible light coming in. But what could be the value of donkey dung? What could be the value of such materialism, such physicality? There's a Gemara that says that in the times of Mashiach, there will be incredible chutzpah. You all know what chutzpah is. It's a perfume. No? I never understand. Give her chutzpah. It's better than brute. But chutzpah. We're talking about a very tough, aggressive, not quite a refined, somewhat of a very coarse, hard generation that's so steeped in the physical and the material. And why is that so important in the times of Mashiach? And here comes, I think, a big surprise for many Jews who don't know the truth about Judaism. Because the big surprise is that the highest of spirituality needs the strongest physicality. And most people don't understand that. Most people think that Jewish tradition is encouraging us towards a spiritual, perhaps even ascetic life, and removing moving us from the physical, because the physical seems to be in contradiction to the spiritual. That materialism seems to be the arch enemy of true spiritualism. That secularism seems to be the very counterforce to true God consciousness. And Judaism teaches that it's not at all that way. And Rabbi Yosef knew that truth. He knew that the very physicalness and secularism in the times of Mashiach is part of the coming of Mashiach. Because for you to be a vessel to receive the Spirit of God, you've got to be a strong vessel. Rav Kook explains, why is it that Shimshon, you heard of Samson, right? Samson was a brute, tough guy, right? Also had some real hip long hair, right? I mean, he probably didn't look like most religious Jews, right? People were shocked. This guy has the Spirit of God? He doesn't look like my Rosh Hashiva. You know? He doesn't look like my Rosh Hashiva. I asked my Rosh Hashiva, my Rebbe, Rosh Shlomo Fisher, you know, why is it that there isn't enough study of Tanakh, of the scriptures in yeshiva today? Because generally in yeshiva there's a tremendous emphasis on the study of Talmud, but not so much on the prophets, the early prophets, the later prophets. My Rebbe, you understand, my Rebbe, long black cloak, long white beard, grew up in Ne'er Sharim. My Rebbe says, because it's very challenging to these boys to imagine Elijah the prophet is wearing a toga, sandals, and a kovat temple, right? A kibbutznik's hat. Because he doesn't look like the Rosh Hashiva. So they're uncomfortable with it. That was his answer. If you were really to be in the times of Shimshon, he would not at all have looked like a spiritual leader. See, when I was growing up, what was my image of a rabbi? My image of a rabbi were three rabbis in a picture on the wall of my parents. It was a picture they bought, probably in the Arab Shuk, in Israel. And it was quite a gruesome, depressing picture. It was these three rabbis in a very dark room with tombs of various piles of books. They all had long white beards. They all had thick glasses. They were old. They were pale. And they were in this dungeon-looking room, seemingly having intense discussions of irrelevant details of halachic neurosis. That's what it looked like to me growing up. I didn't know much about Judaism. But that was the picture of Judaism. Old, gray, pale, weak, divorced from the world, in a dark room, involved in minutiae that has nothing to do with the Rolling Stones, which were important to me, right? And I didn't want to look like, I didn't see myself in that picture. I didn't want to look that way. Right? And to me, I thought, well, if that's the goal of Judaism, that eventually you should aspire to look that way, I don't want to be Jewish or live Jewishly. And I think a lot of people have that attitude. I've asked people to close their eyes and imagine a holy person. Almost always they come up with a man. Almost always he's old. Almost always he has long white hair. Well, not long white hair this way, but a long beard. Right? With thick glasses. He knows him. Shimshon, why does Shimshon become this man filled with the Spirit of God? Rav Kook explains, because there hadn't been prophecy in a while. And the intensity of the Divine Spirit coming in the world could only rest on a person who could take it. If you're this frail, pale, weak, the intensity of Divine Spirit, which is the intensity of the full force of life, wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't be able to take it. Do you understand this? So as we see in the Messianic age, this intensification of the physical, of the material, of chutzpah, of coarseness, you would think we're going in the wrong direction, but rather Rav Yosef sees this as the preparation towards being able to stand an incredible downpour of divine spirit in the world. And so Rav Kook says only Shem could take it. Right? The frail yeshiva shekinah guys, not that they all are frail, God forbid, but, you know, they wouldn't be able to take it. I mean, sometimes you go up to a person on Shabbos, you say good Shabbos, and you give him a hand, and you feel like you're shaking a piece of herring. He says, like, this is now, where's your chias? Where's your life force? Right? And I want you to understand something amazing. People think that that Judaism is against the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. We're not against the Yetzirah. A person who doesn't have a great Yetzirah will never be a great person. Never. As my son's Rosh Hashiva explained to his students, your Yetzirah is the motor of your car, and your Yetzir Tov, your good inclination, is the steering wheel. And if you don't have a motor, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you just have a motor and you don't have your hands firmly on the steering wheel, you're going to go off the cliff. So the Jewish people are not against the Yetzirah. In fact, you should just know that it's not even called an evil inclination. That's a complete mistranslation. Because it's called Yetzirah, which means the inclination towards evil. It itself is not evil, but it's so volatile that it's towards evil. It's called a Yetzer Tov, which means a good inclination, but a Yetzer Hara, which means an inclination towards bad. So the fact that it's got 100 or 1,000 horsepower is not in any way in conflict to the downpour of the Spirit coming. Just the opposite, it's setting the stage. Only such horsepower. So when we see a prime minister that really is like an ox, he looks like an ox. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he does look like an ox. And some people feel he's acting like an ox. Right? And yet, how is it possible? Are we going in the wrong direction? Are all our dreams foiled? If Zionism has reached such self-destruction, such national suicide, whereby it's giving away for nothing in return, unless they got to deal with Bush, right? Who knows, right? Right? But whatever, we won't go there. Well, what's going on? One would easily lose hope. One would not see how, if the sun is set and the moon is set and the stars have set and it's pitch dark, how could light come out of the darkness? How could a donkey support the Mashiach? How could donkey dung so high that it casts a shadow that a rabbi would ask that he be worthy to be protected from the intensity of the divine light coming? Because he realizes that with the intensity of the divine spirit, it could be only withstood and properly utilized if there was such an intense material basis for it. So Rav Kook, a great rabbi, explains that the material, there's form and there's substance. And everything has a form, and a table or a stender. And then the substance is wood. But then this is a stage, again, substance wood, but a different form. Spirit is form, material is substance. For the highest form to come into the world and to last, it has to land upon that which is most substantive. And therefore, one could go to the land of Israel. I remember the first time I landed in Israel. And I, you know, my first encounter with the Israeli, the Sabra. I didn't know what Sabra was. I thought it was a liqueur. I didn't know what Sabra was. And there's this kind of chutzpah. And there's this kind of coarseness. And I remember I was on a bus going from Tel Aviv to Bat Yam. And I didn't know much Hebrew at the time. And I knew where I was going. So I said to the driver, Ani Bat Yam. Right? He looked at me, you don't look like Bat Yam. It's a city. No, no, Ani Bat Yam. So he goes, Beseder, Beseder, go away, right? And I went in the back of the bus and I'm sitting beside some woman. I turn to her, I go, Shalom, Ani Bat Yam. She looks at me, right, Ani Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv Shama. Okay, so she realized I'm some stupid American. She didn't understand I'm really a stupid Canadian, but okay. And she said, Seder, and I thought she meant she'd let me know when to get off. All right, well, we're driving and we're driving and we're driving. And in Israel, you pay for your destiny, and there's a guy whose job is to check that people pay for how far they're going to go. So we're going and we're going, it's very crowded, and finally the guy comes and he asks me for my ticket. And he looks at my ticket, and he starts yelling at me. But not talking to me. Yelling at me. So I looked at him and said, Ani Bat Yam. Ani Bat Yam. And I realized that I must have missed Bat Yam about an hour ago. Right? And I don't understand, because this woman who was looking out the window the whole time doesn't tell me. And then I realized she was sleeping on the window. So she totally forgot. And then the whole bus starts yelling at me. Right? Everybody gets involved, right? I mean, in Toronto, I've never found anybody even notice you. It's like, Roger. It's like, you know, St. Clair. That's it. There's no, here you go on Israeli bus, they don't even know you. What do you mean they don't know you? You're my brother, I can yell at you. Right? And so everybody's yelling at me, and what are you going to do, and what are you going to do with this guy? He doesn't speak any Hebrew. Right? The bus driver stops in the middle of the highway, gets out of the bus, walks me across the highway, and stops another bus, right, and tells this guy to take me to an insane asylum. The coarseness. You know, in America, the customer's always right. In Israel, the customer's always wrong. Right? But the coarseness of it is very sweet. But you go to Land of Israel, you'd say, this is the generation of Mashiach. This is the generation of Mashiach. You go to Tel Aviv, you won't see almost any kippot. And you won't see almost any orange ribbons either. This is the generation of Mashiach? Yes. Because the intensity of the light that's coming upon us is so great. It needs people who are tough, who are strong. It needs a material world that will be able to facilitate, accommodate such spirituality. The goal of Jewish life is not spirituality. It is not physicality. It is holiness. It is the union of body and soul, state and shul, the secular, the spiritual. May we merit to sit in the shadow, the protective shadow of the donkey dung, to know that we are in that generation. But may we also merit to teach others that a shadow only has meaning when there's light. And each and every one of us can be that light for somebody. And this is my dare to you. I dare you to think of one person you know in your life that you can bring some light to. Whether it's a book or a tape or an article. And I'm not talking about whether it's a book of mine or a tape of Vinny's. Something inspirationally Jewish. It's not up to us as rabbis. It's up to us as the Jewish people to be a light. Thank you very much.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.